Could you see if Pastor Karen gets one, please? Okay. There's a bunch of symbols on that front page, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about them. You see, you as a leader or as a member of the body of Christ, your identity, your image, your purpose, your vision, and your placement is all contained within you. Thank you. And what I mean by that is that as you go forward, how you see yourself in this church determines how you operate. So if you see your image in this church as less than the ministry, and so you're going to function just as you see yourself. And so if you see yourself as an introvert or a person who, I'm just quiet, I just don't want to talk to people, then you're going to be quiet and you're not going to talk to anybody. But there might be a joint staying in that church that needs some ply of your life. And so you don't go talk to them because you have an image of yourself. And a lot of us walk around with identifying our image as what we see, what other people have put together. But what does God say about you? And I wanted to say this to you, because I'll keep you here for a week and a half on this subject matter, okay? I'll just say to you, God's image and identity of you and your life is far different than what you have of yourself. We are the sum total of what people have said to us, done to us, life issues. We're the sum total of all external. God says, no, I have made you in the image of my Son. I have sent you on this earth with a purpose. I have sent you on this earth to have vision of where you're going. And then I sent you on this earth to place you somewhere. You have been placed here at Freedom Worship. This is your sphere of influence. This is your PowerPoint. This is your place to fulfill some of the purpose God has put in your life. Little triangle there is God is sovereign because he's ahead of everything. Don't you agree with that? Now, I'll talk about this later. These are just bullet points for you to look at, okay? Is that if you understand the sovereignty of God, you'll end a lot of your questions. If you understand the sovereignty of God, you will end a lot of your questions. One question that will go by the wayside is why? 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 Why, Lord? Why? Why, Lord? Why? Why? Because you'll accept your life walking down a road that you're walking in the sovereignty of God. I am convinced nothing in my life happens, nothing, without going, knowing about it, and orchestrating it. Nothing, including almost losing my wife 15 years ago. Nothing. Y'all walking with me? In the center part is the identity and image. That's what you see yourself in your heart. What do I see in my heart? And I don't want you to go to some psychological psychotherapy thing to find out, well, what am I? Maybe you just need to give yourself to God and he'll give you the image you're looking for. And maybe you won't have to climb inside yourself anymore to look for something that doesn't exist. Is that all right? And then on the left-hand side, you see purpose of vision. Why am I here? And then the very bottom triangle is that what is my effect in the body of Christ? What is this church? This church is a cell in the overall body of Christ. So maybe all the questions that I've been proposing to you, maybe we ought to ask about the church. As a church body, why are we here? What's my function? What's my purpose? What's our identity? Where are we going? What are we doing? And it should be one answer, not 50. Because if you have 50 answers, you're going to be going in 50 different directions, which means nobody has bought into the body. We're all a bunch of individuals doing our thing, robots. But if I buy into the body, I realize when I walk through that front door, I affect something or somebody. If I, as a church, leave this building today and go to work, then this church body is going to affect somebody at your work, because you're a part of something bigger than yourself. So, sovereign God, what is your belief and relationship with God? Identity and image, what is your identity and how do you view yourself? I'm not asking you to answer these questions, right? No, but you know, they're good questions, don't you think? Purpose of vision, what is the reason for your being? Where are you going? If someone comes up and asks you, why are you here on earth? Well, I don't know. You know, we ought to have a definitive answer, because the millennial people are lost. The people in the world are lost. They're going to come and say, well, what are you all about? Well, I was born again, and I go to church every Sunday, and I try to be holy. Thank you very much. See you later, Jack. So we got to settle some of these things in our hearts. The body of Christ does. So someone comes up and says, well, why are you here? I'm here because God has made me, created me for a purpose, and here's what my purpose is. Oh, wow. You don't have to go to therapy to get that. The greatest counselor, oh, is that his name? The greatest counselor that can give you your identity is the counselor, if you'll just stop long enough to hear the voice and write down what he has to say. Is that all right? The body of Christ. What is your place in the body of Christ? What is your place? What are you? If you have no particular, if you're not in the fivefold ministry, then what are you? I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir of Jesus. That ought to tell you a lot. That ought to give you enough fuel to go through the day with. Amen? Three triangles on the bottom. What was, what is, and what is to come. Does that sound familiar to anybody? What God has done, he has done. It affects the now and determines the future. Let me stop right there. What God has done in the past, it's done. Stop trying to manufacture and reproduce what God has. Many revivals stop because people try to reproduce what God is doing. That's what kills revival. Instead of living every day, okay, what do you have for us today, Lord? You know, I remember the heyday, man, when we were in Rock Church. I remember this, and I remember the power of God falling, yada, yada, yada. And that's all good memories. It's good to talk about it. But don't live there. I could tell you stories about River Valley Christian Center that I don't even tell them people on there anymore, because I don't live there anymore. It would bless their socks, because we had a bona fide spiritual revival move of God in our church. I mean, we were walking in Sunday mornings and people just be slain in the spirit. I mean, it was awesome. But we can't reproduce that. You understand what I'm saying? You can't have what it was when you started the church. Move on. Are you hearing me? You can't reproduce what was. Move on. Move on with God. What's God want for you today? Well, we've struggled here for how many years, and we've just really worked hard, and we've had so many hits, and people just up and leave on us, and it's just, we've been rejected. Well, join the club. Stop, and I'll say this to you, because the Lord says to me this, stop whining and be what you are today. What am I today? A son of God? Spirit-filled, talking tongues, on fire Christian. That's what I am today. Is that right? It affects it now. So you see, if you try to reproduce what God did, you'll end up with a dead religion in the now. I'll say that to you again. If you try to reproduce what God did, you'll end up with dead religion in the now. You can't step twice in the same river. What I mean by that is you can't step twice in the water of the river, because the water is always moving. If the water isn't moving, you have a swamp. Is that all right? Bottom one. The past is complete. It's done. Do the right thing today as a leader, as a person. Do the right thing today. This is important. I don't even know if I can get all my notes, because this is what God said to me to start this off today with, is because this is crucial to where we're going. See, if you allow the parameters, the dictates, your issues, your experiences, your rejections, your hurts, and I could just go on and on and on, if you let that determine how you think today, then you'll be no different than you were 10 years ago. Do not let the parameters of the yesterday determine the reality of today. Are you with me? Because what you do today, what we do today, this is not by accident. This is an assignment of God. What we do today will determine what this place looks like down the road. We all know that Hebrews 1:8 says that Jesus Christ is the what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Last sheet, I'm not going to go have you fill anything out, but this is something that I have used for years, God gave me, and I just want to just go over the questions quickly with you. It's the pathways, the steps to victory and excellence for one's personal life and leadership / ministry. The first step one has to do is identify who you are and what you want to accomplish. That's the first step. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know why you're at a place, then you know it's just not going to happen. So identify who you are and what you want to accomplish. Now, I put this personal life because even in this room now, as some of you got some vintage on your years, I can say that because I'm probably older than most of you, is that you're still questioning who you are. Age doesn't take that away. So identify who you are. Even if you just say, I'm a child of God and I'm in the hand of a sovereign God. If you could just get that truth in your spirit, as leaders and members of this body, you will go forward. Where do you stand now? Reality check and truth. Okay? Now, I did this yearly with our church. Where do I stand now? What is the reality of it? In my personal life, where do I stand now? If I'm concerned about my body, where do I stand now? What's the reality of it? I got to get a hold of my eating habits and lose 5 pounds. That's the reality check. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'll take care of it tomorrow. No. Not tomorrow. Who are you are? Reality check. Where am I now? Where is this church now? And I encourage you, and the reason I let this, because you can use this in your personal thing, you can use it for your ministry, you can use it for the overall church. Just multiply the page and fill it in any area in your life. Where does this church stand right now? Reality, truth, not what I want it to be, not what I hope it to be. What is the raw reality of the truth of where this church is and where, in essence, what's going on? And you can also ask that about your own personal life. Where are you now? What is the reality? How do you feel yourself now? Well, I'm struggling. Okay, write that down. I don't feel like I'm worth anything. Write that down. Write it down. Oh, I don't want to confess it. Lord, that's faith. No, no, no. Write it down. Get rid of the old religious, spirit of religion, lingo that stops you from growing. Oh, I can't tell anybody I'm not feeling good because then I wouldn't be a person of faith. Grow up. We all don't feel good once in a while. Come on. That's one thing the world says. They go in here. I want authenticity. Don't tell me you're flying in the world. And I walk in. I remember, I'll never forget this image. Because we had a healing thing, and it was up in New Milford. And I was assistant pastor. I'd be powerful, and people were being touched by God. And this lady come up, and she had a bad ankle and all this stuff. And so we prayed. And she said, oh, I'm healed. All right? And church service is all over, and she's sitting in the back room. I said, what are you sitting here for? Oh, I'm just resting. I said, no. What are you sitting here for? Because the reality is your ankle's not healed, and you don't want anybody to know about it. That doesn't make you less of a person. If God doesn't heal you, it doesn't make you less than a person. It doesn't make your faith messed up. Can we please get a hold of this thing? God is bigger than your problem. Are we all right? So reality check, all right? I'll be talking about that over the weekend, all right? Now, why is that important? Because if I understand where I am now, the next question, okay, is a pertinent one. What stands in my way of becoming or doing or accomplishing what I want? What is it that stands in my way? You might have a young couple say, well, we haven't got married yet. We're living together. So what stands in your way? Well, we haven't got the money to live, okay? So how do you solve the problem? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see, you've got to look at your obstacles. What is it? Wow. What stands in the way of this place? Having a cop sitting out in the road out there because you got so much traffic coming in here. What stands in our way? Well, God isn't doing it. Well, maybe God is looking for the body to get in line with what he wants so that he can trust it enough to send the multitudes. Now you're getting mad at me. Do you understand what I'm saying? What do we as a body, if God sends 15 lost, wretched souls, tattoos and rings in their noses, and walks in with a hat on a church, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Please don't give me a religious answer. Well, we love on them. No, you won't. You will force them to change before they're ready to change. And they'll leave. Because the cookie cutter Christian in this church, that doesn't fit it. Will destroy the cookie cutter. Because what used to be the nice cookies that you used to make here, it doesn't work anymore. Change the cookie cutter. If someone walks in that door, I remember one time, had a young man sitting in church, had his hat on, and I had one of my illustrious leaders. Oh, this person was really spiritual. Walk up behind the young man, take his hat off, and put it in his lap. He says, we don't wear a hat in church. Never saw that man again. Why? Because you're not supposed to wear hats in church. Okay, I get that, but they don't. Pastor Mark's been talking about his leaders. Is that people are going to come to this church, say things that you're not going to like. They might even swear. They might even use the four-letter word in church. Oh, okay. God's not moved, you are. We don't talk like that in church. He doesn't know any different. The world out there doesn't know. Most of the people coming to church now never went to Sunday school, never mind stepped in the doors of a church. So now we got to love on that person. Do I accept their language? Absolutely not. Is that our norm? No. But don't chase them out of the church until you have a chance to get his heart. Is this too much? I mean, this is what the Lord told me to share with you. Is this, are you all right? This is leadership, right? Oh, I can give you 15 principles of leadership in the back of my hand. This is important. What are the solutions to our problems? Okay. Identify my reality where I'm at. Identify who I am, where I'm going. I identify now what stands in my way. Now I got to talk about the solutions. Well, I'll just pray. Okay, that's good. Pray. Get in your word. Find out what God says. Are you with me? But then look for a solution. Well, God will speak to me. No, do something about it. I have a financial problem, and I'm just looking for God to supply all my needs. Okay, that's cool. That's really great. I'm excited for you. So if God gives you $10,000 a year from now, you're going to be right where you are because your finances stink. You have no management of your finances. You have no discipline. You buy whatever you want, when you want, don't pay your bills, and yet you want God to bless you. What's the solution? Go find a finance book and study about finance. That's what I did. I didn't really have to do that much because I got a miracle worker back there, but am I making sense to you? Because see, someone walking in this church has no idea what church is. No idea whatsoever. And they're looking for someone to connect to that's authentic. That's called community. Community doesn't destroy everybody. You commune them together until they change. I'll give you one quick example, then I got to move on. I got to go 2 more points and we'll take a break. Is that all right with you, Mac? Is that Pastor Karen and I went to a church fellowship in Virginia. You would have loved it. I don't have time to describe it to you. The bottom line, it was a huge mansion, and the sanctuary was the ballroom of the mansion. It was huge. Had a whole bunch of people living there. 16 adults lived there. And the rule was, don't come down on anybody. Love, encourage, and guide. Because the people sleeping upstairs, most of them are drug addicts or just plain lost people. There was this redhead that came along, straggly hair. I mean, he was a filthy mess. I wanted to get him cleaned up in a heartbeat. That's what I wanted. But the rule was I couldn't say anything to him. So every Sunday you look at it and say, oh, this is disgusting. 6 months later, that man walked into church and nobody knew who he was. Clean, haircut, righteous, yada, yada. Why? All because he was nourished, ministered to, built up, and didn't come down on him for something he doesn't know anything about. Do you follow what I'm saying? What are the goals and objectives? Set some goals. Where do you want to be? Where do I want to be 5 years from now? Where do I want to be a year from now? And then the last one there, and I won't digress on that anymore. And that is action plan. Make a plan. Amen. Now here's something else that the Lord told me to share. It's totally different than any leadership thing, Pastor Mac, but I have to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me in the morning, one morning, that before I start teaching this, I have to go over this with you. He says, because it's a plague in the church today, and if you're going to go forward, it cannot be here. There's two things. So here's what he said to me. What carries a person or a group of people to the next level? What carries? Did anybody know that? What carries a group of people to the next level? I said, I don't know, Lord. What carries and elevates an organization or a church body forward and upward? You ready for this? The Lord said to me, passion. Passion. And so I want to just take a couple moments, and then I have one other area I have to go through that the Lord instructed me to share with you. Passion. What is passion? What passion is not is that, you know, because you have some loud mouth, some voiceless person, some extrovert personality, okay? Yelling and screaming is not passion. It's just a lot of noise. Well, I'm a quiet and reserved person, and not much moves me. I'm just Mr. Steady as I go. You need a shot of passion. Because being quiet does not mean you're not passionate. Some of the most powerful people I've known in the kingdom are quiet, but they got so much passion in them that a rock couldn't stop them. They just do it differently. You mean I got to, if I'm an extrovert, I got to accept someone who is a little quieter and does things different than me because I want it done my way? The answer is yes. So what is passion? Passion carries a group of people on top. It carries an organization that elevates them. Passion is a powerful, compelling emotion and fueling of one's being, either love or hate. We're seeing passion released in our nation right now in Washington. That's a bad passion because it's hate. It's emotion on all sides. And so we got to understand this. So having passion, passion is a very powerful force. It's a driving force. Passion eliminates late coming to church. That was a pastor's side note. You're supposed to laugh at that. Passion is compelling. It's emotional. It's driving. It's a strong feeling to do something. A strong enthusiasm. That's what passion is. It's a force that propels you forward no matter what you're facing. It's a state of being upon or affected by something internally. Passion is an internal driving of one's being. In fact, enthusiasm is a Greek word for God within. And so I used to be motivation speaker. I could come up here and jump up and down. I wouldn't be sitting on the stool, and we'd get you all excited and motivated about Jesus. And I mean, you just get out there, and I'm going to get you excited. And for years, I used to do that. I used to do it as a pastor. Come on. Get all the people excited. 2 weeks later, they're right back where they are. Why? Because you can't, passion doesn't come from the soul. Passion comes from the depths inside of a relationship with Holy Spirit, willing and wanting to serve God. That's what passion is. Passion helps you understand that God loves everybody. And so the next soul that walks in here that doesn't look like they're supposed to, maybe passion for Jesus, that person would know Jesus like you do, the passion would start to rise up and override your ungodly emotion and trigger in godly emotions where you have love, grace, and mercy for that person to encourage them to come into the kingdom of God. Does that make any sense? A little different than you thought you were going to get, didn't you? I could wait for the next one. A leader without passion or zeal, because a scripture word you could use for zeal, zeal of the Lord, amen. What zeal means is It means favor. It means a person with favor, objective, and going forward, full of desire, full of enthusiasm. That's what zeal means. So the Lord gave me this example. How many of you would like to own a nice, fancy car? Just once. Just a nice, fancy, high-end car, man. Or whatever you want to have. But I'm going to use a car, for example. And you even got it paid for. But you got no gas. There's no gas to put in your car. None. Zero. How good is that car to you? It's nothing. It's a piece of metal rotting in your driveway. Are you all right with that? What do we do to God? He sees us as perfect vessels, made in the image of his Son, full of the Holy Ghost, fully equipped, placed in a place. And we look just like that expensive car sitting in the driveway because there's no gas. Do you understand what I'm saying? Passion is something God wants us to have. This came to me as much as I didn't even get it typed out. Passion is more important than the plan. And I'm a planner, man. I got my goals. I got my little thing on my phone. I got my things to do list. I'm a planner. But if I don't have passion, all those plans is going to sit there, and I'll move it to the next day, to the next day, to the next day. Passion is more important than a plan or a vision. Passion creates fire in your spirit and provides fuel. Have you ever met a truly passionate person that runs out of gas, has no energy, doesn't want to do anything? I've never run into a truly passionate person. Passion is an answer to the body of Christ. How many times you've heard this? I've heard it, and I'm pastor for you. You've been in the ministry a long time. Have you ever heard burned out? I'm burned out. Some of you sitting in the room are burned out. Truth be known. You're not burned out. You need to go to a gas station and put some high-octane passion in your spirit. That really helps. It fuels you. It moves you forward. It makes you want to do something. Pastor Mark was, in fact, talking this last week on the difference between should and could. Should have done that speaks maybe of something in the past. Could means something in the future or today. And so God wants us to understand that passion, amen, is energy in the spirit. He wants us to be excited about who he is. I don't know if you know this, but this is the most contagious thing in any place you could go. And that is passion, excitement, enthusiasm is contagious. More so than negative, darkness, woe is me, and why aren't we growing? Oh, has anybody ever said that here? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we growing? Must be someone's fault. Maybe we, in your prayer time, you guys are prayer warriors. God, bring the passion back in our heart to serve you and to be all I can in this church. Make me wanna, coulda, do it. So passion creates momentum. It's true in any organization. If there's no momentum, you're not going to move anywhere. Passion empowers. Passion energizes every aspect of your being. If you notice that if you have no passion for the things of God, that you lack passion to do your job. Or is there a greater passion for your job than the things of God? That's backwards. Do you know that there's a greater passion for football or soccer for my children to fit in culture? So I'm going to take them to football practice instead of church on Sunday morning. Oh, I can't do that. I have a passion for my children. No, you have a passion for your children to fit into culture. Do you have a passion for your children to serve God? That's a huge difference. Now, you can't go dictate that to people. That's got to come from being a part of something that's got passion. All right, I'll move on. I'm meddling. Passion is the first step to achievement. Passion increases willpower. You ever tried to fast without passion? Well, you might go hungry. Passion produces energy. Passion is the foundation for excellence. Passion does not allow the statement, oh, that's good enough, to exist in a church body. Passion is the key to victory. Amen? And passion makes a person courageous. Y'all doing all right? Do you need a stretch or not? Can I just do the last session here? You know, just stand up and stretch. Praise your hand to the Lord. Because like this is very important. I'm going to share with you right now. So this is something the Lord laid on my heart. So go ahead and stand up and just say hi and just walk around a little bit. Because I don't want to lose you.